Breaking news tonight, air disaster. Egypt Air Flight 804, why experts fear it could have been a bomb. What U.S. officials tell NBC News are strong indications of an explosion. The plane making abrupt turns before plummeting off the radar and into the Mediterranean. Could someone have slipped an undetectable device past security at a major Western airport? Hillary Clinton unloads on Donald Trump like never before, accusing him of being a recruiter for terrorism. NBC News exclusive. For the first time, we reveal an American ISIS recruit who trained with the enemy, then escaped. What he saw and what he knows now helping U.S. intelligence. And Morley Safer dies at 84, days after retiring. We remember a legendary stalwart of 60 Minutes. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. There is an especially uneasy feeling tonight about what may have brought down an Egyptian airliner over the Mediterranean early today. The Airbus, with 66 people on board, vanished from radar overnight on a flight from Paris to Cairo. There was no distress call. In Cairo, anxious families waited for hopeful news that never came. At sunup, an armada of planes and ships will resume searching for signs of victims and wreckage near where American intelligence officials tell NBC News there were indications of an explosion. Tonight, Egyptian authorities are suggesting it might have been an act of terror. If true, it leads to the frightful possibility an explosive device somehow went undetected through one of Europe's busiest air hubs. We have full coverage and analysis, starting with NBC's Tom Costello.
In the Mediterranean, ships and planes searching for debris from Egypt Air 804 after it disappeared from radar in the dead of night. NBC News has learned from intelligence officials that data suggests some sort of explosion on board the plane.
The possibility of having a different action or having a terror attack is higher than the possibility of having a detonation.
The Airbus A320 left Paris Charles de Gaulle just after 11 p.m. local time for a four-hour trip to Cairo. On board, 56 passengers, including three children, a crew of seven, and three security agents. The plane was traveling at 519 miles per hour at cruise altitude, 37,000 feet, when something went terribly wrong. The Greek government says military radar detected the plane making an abrupt 90-degree turn to the left, then flying in a circle, dropping to 15,000 feet. Final radar contact lost to 10,000 feet just inside Egyptian airspace. The A320 is a workhorse for airlines worldwide. With more than 6,600 in service, one takes off every 2.5 seconds. This plane was considered young, just 13 years old, with 48,000 flight hours. The crew was experienced, 9,000 hours of flight time between them. But could the plane have suffered a mechanical failure and structural breakup in flight?
Modern jet airliners are very well designed, and it would be very, very unusual to have a structural failure resulting in an in-flight breakup.
A leading theory, an explosive planted on board either by a passenger or someone on the ground brought down the plane.
They're going to be looking at residue. They're going to be looking at shrapnel. They're going to be looking for those things that could indicate whether or not there was some sort of explosion aboard the aircraft that compromised the structure.
Tonight, U.S. and French intelligence are comparing names on the passenger manifest against known terrorist watch lists and interviewing ground staff who had access to the plane. The plane's black boxes may hold the key to what happened, conversations between the flight crew, and any alarms or sounds of explosions. The flight data recorder should contain thousands of pieces of data on the plane's mechanical performance. Meanwhile, in Paris, the distraught families have gathered, hoping for answers. British citizen Richard Osman was on board, his brother Alistair.
I never would have expected this to happen. I never would expect to wake up to this.
So far, no credible claim of responsibility. No wreckage has been found thus far. U.S. intelligence sources say an initial check of the passenger manifest found no one on the U.S. terror watch list. Lester?
All right, Tom Costello, thank you. Let's bring back former NTSB investigator Greg Feith. We just saw him a moment ago. Greg, there have been a couple cases of planes falling from the sky. There was Air France 447 back in 2009, an Indonesian jet a couple years ago. But those were all attributed in part to what the pilots were doing in the cockpit. What makes this one potentially more suspicious, and what do you make of the sharp turns before it dropped off radar?
When you look at Air France 447, Lester, and, of course, Asia Air, those airplanes were traversing bad weather. So the airplanes stayed airborne for a while before they got themselves, basically because of pilot input or lack thereof, into a situation that was unrecoverable for the pilots. In this particular instance, you have an airplane that's in a steady state cruise phase of flight, 37,000 feet, and then for whatever reason, after normal communication, the airplane goes into a very high-speed dive according to the radar information that was released, and it was making several what they call abrupt turns, followed by a circular or spiral turn, which ended up in the Mediterranean Sea. That's the strange part, is that everything was nominal, and then in the very last seconds of flight, the airplane went straight down. There was no maneuvering. It just ended up in the water.
All right. Greg Feith, thank you for your analysis. The possibility that the Egypt Air crash was an act of terrorism focuses renewed attention on the vulnerabilities of flying here at home, including the potential threat of an airport insider and growing concerns over the screening of cargo that's loaded on board. NBC's Pete Williams has those details for us.
Passenger screening lines were longer and slower today in Atlanta, snaking through the airport, but generally shorter elsewhere and moving faster, notably better in Chicago. Waiting passengers say the Egypt Air crash puts the inconvenience in a new light.
I don't want security compromise, no. Especially when you're flying overseas, it's really scary.
Authorities in Los Angeles say they stepped up airport security today as a precaution. In recent months, Homeland Security has done more to check flights bound for the U.S. from overseas, more screening of passengers and items loaded onto planes. But some security experts say more could be done to further protect air travel at home. One suggestion for dealing with potential insider threats, screening checkpoints for airport employees who have access to planes, in addition to checking their backgrounds before giving them a badge.
If you're doing 100% of one or the other, they're going to get used to the system. Introduce random security measures for employees so they don't know what's going to happen from day to day.
And many in Congress have called for more thorough inspection of cargo carried on passenger planes. The system now relies in part on screening by known and trusted shippers. TSA says it's constantly improving the technology for trying to find explosives that are intended to be undetectable, a constant race with terrorist bomb makers such as Al-Qaeda in Yemen, who have made developing such bombs a priority.
U.S. officials say tonight that until the cause of the Egypt Air crash is known, it's impossible to say whether airport security will be changed here at home. Knowing what measures to enhance would depend on finding out which ones were exploited. Lester?
Pete Williams, thank you. If the crash of this Egyptian airliner was in fact an act of terror, there has been so far no claim of responsibility. But ISIS has made a number of threats against Egypt recently. And as NBC's Bill Neely reports from Egypt, passenger planes remain a top target for terror.
Egypt's president and ministers meeting for crisis talks, refusing to rule out any explanation for the missing plane, including a bomb. Concern growing globally.
We have seen a desire on the part of extremists around the world, including some extremists in the Middle East, to carry out attacks targeting the international aviation system.
Egypt is a prime target. Last year, ISIS brought down a passenger plane in Egypt with 224 on board, a Russian jet, bombed, say ISIS, with explosives in a soda can.
You don't need a lot of explosive if the airline is at full altitude. If you compromise a structure that high up, you can force a plane to break up.
3 months ago, it was a bomb and a laptop that exploded on a Somali plane, blowing a hole in the fuselage and blowing the Islamist bomber out. Security cameras capturing airport workers, handing him the bomb in the departure lounge. Planes have been a favored terrorist target, from Pan Am 103 that exploded over Lockerbie, to hijackings, 9/11, plots to smuggle bombs on board in clothing, liquids, anything.
Terrorist groups find airliners to be attractive targets. When a terrorist group goes after an airliner, it ends up being a major news story for weeks at a time.
In Brussels this year, it was the airport itself that was targeted. In France, the security passes of 70 airport workers were withdrawn amid fears they had Islamist links. Egypt tonight, searching for a plane and for answers.
And I would stress there is no proof it was a bomb. There's been no claim from ISIS. And remember, they boasted about the Metrojet attack pretty quickly. And there is no convincing reason why a bomber, say in Paris, would ignore an American or a Western plane and choose to bomb an Egyptian one instead. As ever, Lester, unanswered questions.
All right, Bill Neely in Cairo for us tonight. Thanks. Let's turn to Michael Leiter, former director of the National Counterterrorism Center, now executive vice president of Leidos, working on national security matters. Michael, if it was a bomb on that plane, how significant is it? It would have had to gotten past security at a major Western airport like Paris.
It's very meaningful, Lester. The French are really some of the best in the world at airport security. Certainly they use the same techniques, the same tools, the same technology that we use in the United States. So if a bomb got through either checked baggage or carry-on baggage, that shows a real vulnerability and one that we have to understand to change our processes. If it was carried on by an insider, that, of course, is in and of itself troubling, but it might be a little bit more localized. So under either circumstance, a problem, but if they got this through the screening devices, that is very worrisome for global air travel.
And what do we know about the state of the art of terror bomb making right now? Are there alarms that have been set off at the U.S. intelligence?
There have been generally. The best bombers have really been Al-Qaeda in Yemen. They were behind the underwear bomber and printer bombers, very highly sophisticated and able to elude many of our detection techniques. And some of that expertise has made its way to organizations like the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, ISIS. So whenever that knowledge starts to pervade into other sources, it's extremely problematic and worrisome to intelligence.
Michael Leiter, good to have you on. Thanks so much for your time. Amid this air disaster mystery, Donald Trump was quick to tie it to terrorism, while Hillary Clinton was quick to unload on him like we've rarely seen before, saying things like Trump's Muslim ban recruits more people to join the cause of terrorism. NBC's Andrea Mitchell has details.
In her Illinois hometown, Hillary Clinton, in her toughest attack yet against Donald Trump, slamming him on foreign policy. Does she think he's qualified to be president?
No, I do not. I have concluded he is not qualified to be president of the United States.
You don't think
on CNN attacking him for tweeting today that the Egypt Air crash looks like another terrorist attack, even without hard evidence, and accusing Trump of irresponsible, reckless, dangerous comments about North Korea, NATO, and nuclear weapons. In fact, claiming Trump's Muslim ban is helping recruit terrorists.
We have seen how Donald Trump is being used to essentially be a recruiter for more people to join the cause of terrorism.
But even as Bernie Sanders signals he is fighting to the finish, Clinton declared herself the winner.
If you're the nominee for your party.
I will be the nominee for my party, Chris. That is already done, in effect. There is no way that I won't be.
And as Trump escalates his aggressive personal attacks on Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton is not engaging.
You know, if you pick a fight with, a bully, you're going to be pulled down to their levels.
Do you ever feel compelled to defend your honor, the honor of your husband,
no.
with statements?
Tonight, a new New York Times CBS poll has the race tightening. Clinton just 6 points ahead of Trump, as more Republicans are coming to terms with him as their nominee. Lester?
Andrew Mitchell, thank you. Still ahead tonight, he went from Ivy League student to ISIS recruit. Our NBC News exclusive with an American who joined ISIS overseas, only to later escape and turn informant. Tonight, he speaks out to us for the first time. Also, scary moments when a bridge overpass collapses on a busy expressway. We're back now with an NBC News exclusive interview with an American citizen who fell under the spell of ISIS. He went from college student to an ISIS training camp in Syria. And after the horrors he saw, he escaped with his life and turned informant. For the first time, he reveals himself to our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel, who joins us from Turkey. Richard?
Good evening, Lester. We've been investigating the ISIS personnel files for months, with a special focus on recruits who came from the U.S. But there has been one American we couldn't reveal until now. He went to an Ivy League college, Columbia University, but ended up in the ISIS capital. We've been asked to call him Mo.
When FBI agents brought Mo to meet us, he was wearing clothes his mother got him for the interview, instead of his prison uniform. Mo, who came to this country when he was a year old and grew up in New York, pled guilty to terrorism charges and faces up to 25 years in prison.
I've let my family down, I've let my nation down, and I've let God down, and I have a lot to make up for.
So are you, in this interview and other places, apologizing?
Absolutely. I lost sight of how people could be so evil.
Mo dropped out of Columbia University. He found ISIS propaganda online and lured by the promises of a pure Islamic state, he traveled to Turkey and snuck into Syria. At 25, he ended up in an ISIS training camp like this one.
Did you see evidence of all the gore that we see in the ISIS propaganda?
I did see severed heads placed on spiked poles.
You saw heads on a stake?
Yeah.
And what did you think?
I just blocked it out. I tried to ignore it. You could see madness in their eyes.
You could see madness in their eyes?
Yeah.
One of the so-called scholars was showing off a suicide belt, Mo says.
He walked in carrying a suicide belt?
People were gravitating towards it, touching it like it's an exhibit. And people were just in awe of it.
Did they want to try it out?
They didn't allow anyone to wear it. They were just coming close to just look at it.
Mo says this was not the Islamic State he was hoping to immigrate to.
Do you regret that you had gone there?
More than anything. It's obviously the worst decision I've ever made in my life.
He eventually managed to escape from Syria and went right to the U.S. consulate in Turkey. When he got back to the U.S., the FBI put him under arrest. And for the last year and a half, he has been working with the government.
They'll say he'll say whatever is necessary to make himself look sympathetic, to try and get softer treatment, a lighter sentence.
It's legitimate. And, you know, I think I have a real message, and that's the most important thing. The Islamic State is not bringing Islam to the world. And people need to know that.
The FBI told us Mo is now incarcerated, but for security reasons couldn't tell us where. The agency says Mo has assisted the government in a number of ways, some of which are sensitive because they relate to ongoing investigations. Lester?
Richard Engel from Istanbul, thanks. You can see more of Richard's interview with an American ISIS informant in our series On Assignment, Sunday night on NBC. We're back in a moment with a state where lawmakers just voted to make abortion a felony. In Oklahoma today, lawmakers passed a bill that would make performing an abortion a felony that would be punishable by up to 3 years in prison. It now goes to the governor to review and decide whether she will sign it. Abortion rights groups say the bill is unconstitutional, as Roe versus Wade is still the law of the land. Canada's prime minister has apologized for a physical altercation as tempers flared in Parliament. Justin Trudeau was caught on camera grabbing an opposition member by the arm and elbowing a female lawmaker in the chest in the process. It sparked an uproar with lawmakers yelling at Trudeau on the floor. He claims he didn't see the woman behind them, but he has apologized for his conduct. A big emergency on a major expressway in Oklahoma City today when an overpass bridge collapsed onto the road below after police say it was struck by a flatbed carrying heavy equipment. No one, including the truck driver, was injured. When we come back, a look back at the incredible life and career of a legendary newsman. Finally tonight, we say goodbye to legendary journalist Morley Safer, who died today at age 84. The sad news comes just a week following the announcement of Safer's retirement after spending five decades as a trusted presence in America's living rooms. Our Harry Smith takes a look back.
I'm Morley.
Morley Safer?
Yes, himself.
The Morley Safer we knew best was arguably the most gifted storyteller on television.
People might find it very odd, but I really don't like being on television. It makes me uneasy. It is not natural to be talking to a piece of machinery. But the money's very good.
During his decades on 60 Minutes, he wandered the world, enlightening us and often amusing himself.
Part dazzling, part Rocky Horror Show.
But Safer also understood better than most that a journalist's first task is the truth.
God damn it, we're in the middle of this guy.
Safer changed the way Americans viewed the Vietnam War when he showed U.S. Marines torching the thatched huts of civilians.
This is what the war in Vietnam is all about.
I'm standing in East Germany.
Years as a foreign correspondent followed.
I'm Morley Safer.
With the eventual move to 60 Minutes.
We can wake it up for a second.
He was at his best skewering sacred cows like modern art.
It's a white rectangle.
Right. He's a minimal artist. And
I would say so.
And finding humor where there was none.
The finished tango is not to be confused with the groin-grinding, passionate Latin American version.
He loved wine and art and cars and shared that appreciation with frequency. Morley Safer set a standard few have been able to equal. Harry Smith, NBC News, New York.
Our thoughts tonight with Morley's family and his work family, our friends at 60 Minutes. That's going to do it for us on this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.